Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, whether tuning in on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM or through WYADonline.com. We're glad that you all could be with us. Also, those joining us through our online affiliates around the world, including, of course, through Conversations Radio Network. Our next guest is known from his best-selling book called Losing Control, Finding Serenity. We're really excited to welcome author Daniel A. Miller to our program today. He has a great new book that I think all of us can get something out of. It's called The Gifts of Acceptance, Embracing People and Things as They Are. We'll talk to Daniel not only about his success, but also what it's been like for him to motivate and inspire people to action through his books, but also what he hopes you take away from the new book that I think all of us can appreciate. Daniel, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Cyrus. It's wonderful to be on your show.
Oh, the pleasure is definitely all mine. Daniel, I told you before we went live here, my toes were stepped on a little bit with this book. I have been trying to be very transparent with my radio audience and with my friends about my own journey, as I think all of us need to evaluate where we are and where we can make improvements. What you address in this book is one of the things that I've had to work on myself, so I know it's going to be very timely for our audience out there. So I'll start there. What has it been like for you to see the conversations that are coming from the Gifts of Acceptance?
It's been so gratifying and rewarding. It's a confirmation, Cyrus, of the empowerment that acceptance brings us and hopefully the world. People want to be able to accept things that are maybe unpleasant or people they don't like or their challenges, but it's so difficult for them to do so. So I've tried to show in the book and in my speaking some tools where they can learn to accept others, you know, better. And by acceptance, I want to explain this at the beginning. When I talk about acceptance or true acceptance, it doesn't mean that we're excusing or condoning what someone has done. Not at all. It means that we are taking a look at the underlying reality of the situation or how the person is. And ideally, for true acceptance, we need to do that in an even-keeled manner. In other words, we need to get rid of and reduce as much as we can whatever resentment or anger or other negative feelings that we might have. Because when we have those negative feelings, it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to really practice acceptance.
Right. And what I think made me smile as I was reading the book, and I can't wait to write my review on Amazon, Daniel, about this, because I think, too, we have to be honest, right? Unless we're honest, and this is one thing, like I said, I've been having to do myself,
yeah.
And I think that self-assessment, I think, is so important because on the outside, and this is one of the things your book brings up, on the outside it may look as though, you know, we are okay with what's happening, that we are, you know, not judgmental, that we're not making judgments, that we are, you know, are not trying to make people fit a certain box or standard. But it's the work on the inside. What was the work like for you to recognize and to do?
It's been a long journey. It's been at least 25 years. When I was writing my first book, it took 20 years about learning to lose control, to let go of control. I was such a controller. I call myself a controller extraordinaire because I thought, as you say, I thought I knew what was best for others, you know, especially
my
loved ones and my children. And I didn't hesitate to let them know, you know. And all that did, it put me in the trenches of resistance and anger and resentment. And what I've learned in this journey, and it started with the first book and has really culminated with the book on acceptance, because it is a truism that when we are in acceptance, we are not controlling. And when
right.
we are controlling, we can't be in acceptance. They're tied that close together. And so my journey has been a very personal one of working on my own shortcomings in those areas, interviewing others, listening to the stories of others, doing some research, so that I could sort of find a path. Almost it was my own self-help path or self-help book that just kept growing. And then as it started resonating with people, it encouraged me to do more and to write more and to say more. So it's been a wonderful journey, and it's still going on. And as you say, Cyrus, there's that tendency. We don't get rid of all judgment. I don't think it's possible. But we can work on reducing our judgment of others. And
right.
What that really means, that means being humble. It means being humble.
Yeah. To tie in with what you said, and you and I did not discuss this before, the exact point you were just making is one of the points I had made a note of in my book on page 30, Daniel, and you wrote this in chapter 2 of the book. When we are accepting of others or things, there no longer is a need for us to try to change or control them. The very act of acceptance removes that need, and our focus is redirected to where it should rightly and most productively be ourselves. I thus like to say, when you are controlling, you aren't accepting, and when you are accepting, you aren't controlling. This is under the subheading, the best antidote for control. I want to talk about that point, though, about redirection. Because one thing I've always tried to do is that I have, I look at myself and I realize that all of us are on a different journey, right? We're all on a different path. We handle
right.
situations differently. But I think what you really tackle in chapter 2, very early on in the book, is remembering that we ourselves are a work in progress. So we then need to remind ourselves of that before we then try to look at someone else. Is that one of the big points you want to make there?
It certainly is. And the thing is, we cannot begin to do that, that self-examination, that trying to improve our lives, unless we can focus on that. And the problem with when we're controlling others or trying to control others or not in acceptance of others, our focus is on them.
Right.
And what we think they should do, not on us. So we're engaged in things that are not really helping us. And not only that, most of the time we're powerless over changing people. We think maybe we can, and we may try to, but when you really step back and look at it, people will change if they choose to and if they want to and if they are able to, And so it's taking that focus, as you say, removing it from where it's unproductive to where it is, and that's our own lives.
Exactly. For those who are just tuning in on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. As you guys can tell, already having a powerful conversation with best-selling author Daniel A. Miller. He's known for his book, Losing Control, Finding Serenity. But the new book that I believe everyone will be talking about, and Daniel, I'm going to do my part to be a part of that conversation, is The Gifts of Acceptance, Embracing People and Things as They Are. Again, the chapter that really got me in the book, Daniel, is chapter 10, Accepting Our Friends. And this one, I know I've read it at least 3 times. Because I think for me, I think it's almost bigger than the chapter that follows, which is Accepting Our Foes, right? But you said 2 things that really spoke to me personally, and I hope our audience gets this if they've been in a similar situation. There's a subheading on page 130 that says acceptance doesn't mean approval of their behavior. And you say this, as in other relationships, acceptance of our friends does not mean we approve of their disturbing or displeasing ways. Rather, we are simply seeing them as they are without judgment and then deciding what is best for us within that context. I want to talk about that because, again, this
sure.
is a big one for people.
Yeah.
Why is it so important for us to realize the difference?
Well, is the thing with our friends is, there may be things that we don't like about them, maybe the ways they are, but as I said before, we're really not going to be able to change them. So what can we do? Let's say we want to maintain our friendships, right? I mean, we don't necessarily want to cut people off because there are certain things we don't like about them. So one of the things that I suggest is we look to their positive traits, the things that they bring us in our lives that we like, and
right.
we can reduce those areas where maybe there's friction. And so I have friends, for example, that I do certain – I may go to dinner with certain friends or go to a museum with certain friends, and maybe not others, so that I can sort of receive from my friends those things that I enjoy. And yet, if it becomes where they're maybe overbearing, and this goes beyond friends, this could be our loved ones or families or as our foes, then we can disengage, we could detach, we can try to remove ourselves, as opposed to, doing battle.
And this is not a new thing. You actually quote in this chapter the show What a difficult problem is this. Going back to 1937, this article, we must accept our friends as they are, right? I mean, talk to us about that. I mean, first of all, how did you find this? How did you find it about Ms. Chatfield?
I just through research, quite honestly. You know, I just did some online research, and I came across that article was in the Salt Lake paper, like you say, in the 1930s. And I was like, wow, you know, it's really sort of interesting. You know, I'm trying to formulate my ideas, express my ideas, you know, about accepting our friends. And you read someone, it's sort of like a gossip columnist. This is none of this is new. That's what's so amazing. So it's encouraging that I guess there are always people that have this wisdom and this ability, you know, to separate themselves from, you know, from certain things and understand certain things. And I just think it's just a wonderful article, and it's so powerful. And as I say, the truth then is the truth now. It hasn't changed, you know. Is we need to accept our friends, flaws and all. You know, who are we to say that, as you said earlier, who are we to say that what we know is best for them, or that they should act the way we want them to act? You know, oftentimes I don't know that about myself. So who am I to judge? You know, and that's what I try to. That's really what I try to do, and I do that, you know, with my loved ones, with my children, and this is an important thing about acceptance. When you are able to accept people as they are, it allows them to be who they are. It allows them not to feel judged or to be judged. And what that can result in is deeper connection, deeper bond, greater intimacy. And I've had that in my life over and over again. It works. And it may be as simple as listening attentively with someone, letting them speak their truth, without trying to advise them, without trying to recommend what might be better for them. It's very empowering. It's very empowering. And I found that particularly with my children.
And I think that's why this conversation we're having, Daniel, is so important. And it is something, I think, again, that all of us have to do a self-examination of. You know, you mentioned earlier, just being transparent, you know, about cutting people off. I've been very guilty of that, actually. And so in reading this book, I thought about that, and I've been trying to, even with my, you know, with my friends, you know, I'm sure they wonder why I'm always trying to tell them now about the importance of, you know, loving and trusting them. But honestly, it's after I read your book. And I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, I've been this guy. And I think that's the thing that's going to happen with a lot of people. You also talk about the last thing I mentioned in this chapter about accepting our friends, about walking in their shoes. Again, another thing we don't think about. We don't know what individuals are going through, right? We don't
know
why they, you know, make the decisions that they do. But you do say this, that you gain empathy and understanding for their journey and see them in a new light when you accept that, of course, their walk is different than yours, right?
Definitely. And, you know, and we don't know what their walk is oftentimes, you know. And I'm sure maybe you've had the same situation where maybe a friend didn't show up or there was some disappointment, and we tend to speculate, you know, it's because of this. And then sometimes we find out, you know, maybe the person was sick or there was a tragedy or whatever, you know.
Right.
So it's so important. And, you know, Mother's Day and Father's Day is coming up, and I'm sort of been focusing on that a little bit, about the gift of acceptance to our parents. Like, what's the best gift we can give them? And I think that's acceptance. And to get to that, especially when we've had difficult relationships with our parents, is, as you say, to walk in their shoes, to see how they were brought up, their struggles, the mores and ethics of their times. Maybe the things that they didn't have that we didn't have. They maybe didn't have resources like therapy, you know, groups and things like that. And we can then, with that, not only have empathy but have compassion. And the more that we can generate empathy and compassion, what it has the effect of, it reduces whatever resentment or anger we might have. And that keys in to what I said at the beginning about acceptance. True acceptance is what I like to call an even-keeled acceptance. And when we get to that or close to that type of acceptance, then that critical shift happens from them to us. And we know what we can do in the situation that will help us and the situation. You know, I've been asked many times, well, isn't acceptance meaning you're a doormat or you're being too passive? No. Actually, acceptance could be very, very active. It's a way of making choices and taking actions that are best for you and concurrently best for the others.
Right. And that goes perfectly with what you talk about even in accepting our foes. You know, that's a great thing. This is why I tell people, Daniel, actually read the books and prep for these segments, because I think, you know, you say things and it's like, okay, well, I remember that. And then the chapter Accepting Our Foes, you talk about in there exactly what acceptance is not. And I love the fact that you say it is only by accepting our adversaries as they are that we will be able to recognize the choices and options that serve us best. Again, it's turned on us, as I did in my final and I think that's the thing in your final tennis match. And I think that's the thing. I mean, so we're able then to make a decision. And I love the fact that you talk about it's not about excusing or condoning, you know, what the foe has done. You know, it is definitely, though, recognizing your own power. Again, it's not about them. It's about you. So when people finish the book, Daniel, what is your hope? I mean, again, like I said, I went into it open, which is why I wanted to have you on the program, and I knew I could talk openly about this because I think it's my responsibility with a platform like this to let people know, hey, you know, there are a lot of things I get wrong, and this is one of the things that I've had to work on. Do you want people at the end of the day to be able to say that to themselves, okay, this is something I need to reassess?
Yes. In other words, you know, like say, fundamentally, acceptance is a choice. You know, we have the choice to accept or not. And what I try to show in the book and what I'm trying to do in my own life, that making the choice of acceptance is almost always a positive choice that's going to bring us peace, serenity. We'll be kinder and more empathetic to others. And I'm trying to carry the messages of acceptance. I call it acceptance conversations. You know, Cyrus, as you know, we are in such a divisive and divided world right now. You know, and whereas my book is more on the relationships, with what we're dealing in the world, is I believe that acceptance can be at least a conversation starter, where we don't take things so personally, we don't assume that people are out to harm us all the time, that we are willing to listen, well, we willing to try to be open-minded, to not to be so judgmental, and it's my hope, and it's my hopefully being of service that I can offer this to others and speak on programs such as yours, that I my theme is quite honestly, is let's help make acceptance go viral. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Right. Definitely. I think that's great. And, Daniel, I really thank you for opening up yourself and letting us see you in this book as well. And I think, in effect, letting us in, be able to take an honest and open look at ourselves. Again, everyone, bestselling author Daniel A. Miller has been our guest. The book is The Gifts of Acceptance, Embracing People and Things as They Are. It's available through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite bookstore. And, Daniel, how can our audience stay connected with you?
At DanielAMiller.com. I have over 70 articles on the acceptance and control dynamics. I would certainly invite your listeners to read some of them and hopefully pass on those messages. These are important messages of letting go of control and just accepting what is and enjoying the peace and serenity, you know, that comes from that.
Well, again, thank you so much for this, Daniel. Looking forward to our next conversation together.
I am too, Cyrus. And, you know, I really I respect that you read the book because I know you give so many interviews. You must be a prolific reader, and I I'm really appreciative of that. I really am. Thank you.
Well, look, it's my pleasure for sure. And, again, I do it, you know, for my guests but also for my audience, Daniel, because I definitely want them to be able to benefit from the conversations like this because they are so important. And definitely thank you, our audience, for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Daniel, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. If you click on the link there, you can listen to the show completely for free and share with your friends from there as well. I wanted to let you guys know, I do believe this is a book that I really would recommend you guys get. It's very affordably priced on Amazon, so definitely go over and one-click the Kindle edition or order the print edition. It's definitely worth the read. It's a great discussion piece, I think, for family and friends. For those who are joining us via the podcast, I've already posted the Amazon link with this video as well as with the podcast. So I definitely encourage you guys to just go over there, give it a shot for yourselves, because I think this is something that can really help you, not only, of course, in your own relationships, but also, of course, be able to help you to be better in your service to others. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.